this is Denise Lee Yan, and welcome to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. The Brand as Business Bites podcast features great stuff for your brain to chew on, including insights and interviews with newsmakers, brand builders, and thought leaders. It's available on iTunes and on my website, DeniseLeeYan.com.
Today I'm talking with Bruce Turkel, speaker, writer, and consultant to great brands such as Hasbro, Nike, and American Express. I had the chance to hear Bruce speak at the National Speakers Association conference a couple years ago, and I got to meet him personally at this year's event, so I invited him to come talk to me today. And instead of the usual interview format that I use with my podcast guests, I thought it might be more fun for Bruce and me to have kind of a back and forth conversation. So I have a few questions for Bruce, and I think he has a few for me, and I think we'll end up with an interesting dialogue about brands and branding. So welcome, Bruce.
Thank you, Denise. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I want to start off because you gave me a copy of your book, the book you wrote, Building Brand Value, Seven Simple Steps to Profitable Communications. And I want to ask you a couple questions about it because in it you introduced the concept of brain darts. And so I want you to tell us what is a brain dart and what are some examples of brain darts.
Oh, sure. You know, people make all of this so complicated, and my goal here was to try to find some simple ways that people could understand what a brand is all about, and what could get them the benefit of building a strong brand. And so I figured, well, the one thing is if they look around them, they can see what other companies have done, and they can see the way great brands have been built. By the way, I wasn't the first one to come up with this idea, since the whole point of your book is what great brands do, so clearly you understood that there's a lot of great lessons out there for us all to take in. And so one of the things is that, again, people build these giant constructs of studies and techniques and everything else, but the bottom line is most consumers, most of our customers, and more importantly, our potential customers, don't actually think of all those things. The brand is just something that sticks. And so I was thinking, okay, you want it to stick in their brain, you want it to stick in their heart, and then the idea of throwing a dart, and bing, there it is. And so that's where the concept of brain darts came from. Simple, powerful, sharp, but most importantly, something that when you hit the target, it sticks.
I love that. And so what are some of your favorite examples of great brain darts?
Well, there's lots of them. And it really depends on what it is you care about as a consumer. But what I love and what I'm particularly interested in right now is watching the elections, the presidential elections. Because every 4 years, we all get to see this incredible competition and compare it for a moment to what it's like to build a, to sell a product. Your buyer, your consumer, has a resource that is renewable perhaps, but is not in high demand, same as a vote, right? We each get one. You get another one in 4 years, but until then you don't get any more. And it's a zero-sum game. You either win or you don't. The other folks may get great opportunities in the same party to be vice president perhaps and another party to have other political office, but as far as becoming president, you either are or you're not. So all the money, all the time, all the effort that goes into it. And if you can remove your political leanings, which I know is hard to do, but if you can remove that and watch what goes on, you just see the most incredible branding exercises, some done very, very well, some done very poorly. That's what I what I'm just getting turned on by right now is watching that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting you say that because I actually wrote an article for Forbes about how Donald Trump shows brands how to deposition their competitors. And the piece was all just about like how whether you like them or not, and to your point, my piece was not intended to endorse or criticize Trump. It was rather to say there's a lot that you can learn from the way that he has made all the other candidates scramble for their own unique positioning and kind of reframe the whole competitive landscape in a way that I think has kind of upset the apple cart for a lot of people. So I definitely think there's a lot of really interesting dynamics there with the politicians.
You're absolutely right. I watch what goes on, and my wife, for example, has very, very firm beliefs, political beliefs, moral beliefs, ethical beliefs, And I know where she stands. I know her opinion. And I will say, we'll see something happen, a speech perhaps, or someone commenting on another candidate. And I say, did you see what he or she just did? Do you realize that's brilliant, strategically brilliant? And my wife goes, no, but they did this. I said, no, sweetheart, don't worry. I'm not changing my vote. I still feel the way you do. But remove the emotion for a minute and just look at what they just did strategically. She has a very hard time doing that. She's a very emotional person. Now, change the subject because I don't want to say which side she's on, of course. But your point about Trump is a perfect example. Whether you like the guy or not is irrelevant to the lesson of what he's doing. And it's not lost on me that the two candidates that are making the most noise, getting the most attention, and shocking the establishment the most are Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, both of whom have taken very clear, very emotional positions that people instantly have a reaction to. Good, bad, or but not indifferent. You have a reaction.
And so you could say that that's part of being a brain dart, right? Is prompting a reaction, making sure that it isn't just lukewarm. That people either your brand resonates with someone, and that they identify with your brand and feel like this is the brand for me, or they're like, no, that's not for me. And it's a very clear reaction as opposed to a brand that kind of people are like, ah. They don't even give it a second thought.
Yeah, not giving it a second thought doesn't work anymore. Those kind of brands used to work because you didn't have that many choices. But in today's world of democratized information where you have access to everything instantly on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, a brand that doesn't make a reaction, there's no reason to interact with it because you're going to find something. No matter what the product is, you are going to find something that is much more in line with who you are and what you care about.
Right. So, okay, so with that as a foundation, I mean, it would seem like every company would want to have a brain dart, would want to be able to cause a reaction, would want to stand for something clearly, but not everyone does. So what do you think keeps companies from having that kind of clear, simple, targeted message?
I know right away, and Denise, you know it too, because you have given talks where you have laid out your 7 points and your ideas and your thoughts on how you build a brand. And I wasn't even there, but I know you have because I know how good you are. And then when you get off, and people are nodding and smiling and taking notes and you're using examples and you're illustrating your points and you're building this whole construct, and then someone stands up and they always say the same thing. They say, well, Denise, I have to say, everything you just said makes so much sense, and it's so smart, and yeah, you're so clever and so beautiful, and it's so well put together. And they always have this big sigh, right? And they go, but, I'm different. And let me explain to you why. And then basically they don't actually have a question. They just want to talk about themselves and tell you, more importantly, tell the whole audience how special they are and how could they possibly have a single-minded brand when they do so many things. They're so creative. They're so multifaceted. They're so multi-talented. I always answer the same way. I always say, well, actually, I don't, because nowadays I say, okay, you know what, that's great, and I'm sure that works for you, but let me get on to this program for everybody else. But the real answer is that, take a company like Volvo. Volvo is in the most complicated business in the world. They manufacture cars, which means they're in research and development, they're in design, they're in manufacturing, they're in logistics, they're in paint, they're in upholstery, they're in metallurgy, they're in economics, they're in motors, they're in tires. Plus, they sell in 145 countries around the world, which means they have to know about import-export, they have to know about how to move currencies around, they have to deal with the regulations of every country. Plus, think about the actual locations, the retail locations. They have retail stores. They sell product. They buy back product, used product. They resell used product. They buy product that's not even theirs, right? You can go trade your Mercedes in for a Volvo. They do service. They do financing. They do insurance. That on and on and on and on. I said, that's a pretty complicated business with lots of bells and whistles and lots of different things they do, right? And yet, they sell themselves with one word, safety. And by the way, safety is not even the function of a car, which is to get you from point A to point B. They have reduced their brand, or in my mind, built their brand to one word, even though they do all those things, at that point, that person usually sits down, and I can go on with my presentation. By the way, you can feel free to, you can feel free to use that explanation if you like.
I was going to say, I think I'm going to have to steal that, because you're right. I mean, people do feel that phrase, my situation is different, is the most common thing that we hear all the time. And I think that, you know, what I hear in your response is really this kind of, I don't know whether it's courage, discipline, focus, whatever it is, but just to say this is the one thing that our brand stands for, and just really being crystal clear about that and not giving in to the temptation of saying, oh, we're different, so there's no possible way that we could stand for one thing. I think that there's some, I don't know if it's just the fortitude of the leadership or maybe it's experience of leadership to get people to that point where they can have that kind of brain dart, right?
I think it's all the things you said. I think it's courage. I think it's discipline. I think it's leadership. I think it's also security and confidence, because you want to talk about all these different things you do. I mean, the last time you went to a networking meeting, they go around the room and everybody stands up and introduces themselves. You don't know any of these people. And some people get up and say, I make my clients' products and services more valuable by building brands and changing their customers' brand perception. And then I sit down. Other people get up and say, well, we have a manufacturing facility, and we work in metal and also in plastic, and we do this and that and this and the other thing. And then they sit down, and so on and so forth. But when it's all over, the only people you can remember what they actually do are the people who told you one thing. The people who told you how comprehensive their services were, it's impossible for you to take all that in. And even though we do lots of other things, there's no value in me trying to sell that to people, because they don't have the bandwidth, they don't have the brain space, nor the actual care and concern to follow that. So I think it is a matter of discipline, but more importantly, it's a matter of understanding, putting yourself in someone else's shoes, understanding what they are going to respond to. Because if you're only standing up to tell me how great you are, then knock yourself out. Tell me all the great things you do. I'll applaud, and then I will either feel insignificant or I will forget about it 5 minutes later.
Right, right. So true. Now, you said that you wanted to ask me about the practical applications of branding disciplines, and I wanted to know, what did you even mean by that? So tell me, explain what your question is and tell me how I should answer it.
Sure. You and I both know that there are lots of people who talk about being brand experts, being brand gurus. One of the things I like about you and why you back up your experience is you can actually say, oh, by the way, I did it for these companies. I've actually been involved. I didn't just decide to chat about it. However, I think one of the things that most people forget is it's great to have all the theory and it's great to talk about all these sort of 50,000-foot eagle-eye views of what a brand is, but how about how it actually gets produced and distributed, that the people who listen to your show, the folks you work with, the folks I work with, read my blog, read your articles, and so on and so forth, actual practical things they can do. It seems to me you are a very practical person. That's my understanding anyways. And so I'd love to hear some practical things that people can do to build their brands and benefit from them.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the number one thing is what we just talked about, is, you know, being very clear about that one thing that you stand for, and then to use that as a filter for everything that you do. So, you know, if you're Volvo and you decide that safety is the thing that your brand stands for, you know, everyone in your organization needs to use safety as that decision-making filter for what they do. So whether it's the person who is writing marketing copy and therefore expressing this idea that Volvo stands for safety, or it's the engineer on the, on the manufacturing floor that is saying, okay, well, if I cut this out, or if I, you know, cut this corner, am I still delivering on safety as the core of what we do? Or if it's leadership deciding, you know, should we acquire this company or not? Is this going to advance our role in delivering safety? I think it's really just kind of having that one thing that everyone shares as the common decision-making filter. And, you know, it sounds easy, and I don't want to make oversimplify it, but in some cases, I think it is just a matter of making sure that you have that one thing and that you're applying it in all the situations, all the decisions, all the actions that everyone takes.
So consistency and actually taking the time to come up with what the meaning is and then really being careful about using it in everything you do.
Absolutely. And making sure that everyone understands, you know, what safety really means, you know. You know, that's why I think that while you need to stand for one thing clearly, you need to talk about a lot. You need to communicate a lot about it. You know, leaders need to make sure that when they say safety, that everyone understands, okay, it's maybe it's not just the way that our cars are manufactured to withstand impact, but it's also safety in the way we make someone feel when they come into our dealership, that they are not going to be taken advantage of, you know. And so really kind of exploring all the different dimensions and really helping people grasp what that one thing really means, you know, and not taking it for granted that everyone understands it. I think, you know, that's another thing that I think a lot of leaders, maybe because they know it so intuitively, they assume everyone else does when they really need to be much more explicit about it.
So do you think it's important then to come up with this brand attribute, brand essence, whatever you choose to call it, that is flexible and can work in lots of different ways, or does that get confusing?
Oh, wow. You know, I think that that's probably like one of the like key questions in brand building is how flexible do you make your brand? So, you know, does safety mean that Volvo should get into making baby carriages? You know, because they, you know, they have a way of designing things that make it safe for their parents, for parents to take care of their children. And so you wonder like how elastic you should make your brand. I think, you know, it depends, I guess, to me, and I would be really interested to hear your point of view also, but to me it really depends on kind of the where you are in the life stage of your company and then of your brand, in the sense that when you're first starting off, I think the more tightly focused and the more narrow you can be with your brand, and almost rigid to the point of having a very clear box, which is extremely important. But as you grow and as you develop relationships with customers where they trust you and see value on you and want to see that trust and value grow, then you have the permission to extend and be more flexible. I don't know. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, it's very interesting. When I do these phone interviews, or for that matter, when I'm talking to clients or conference calls, I've learned that I have to turn my computer screen off because sometimes I lose a focus and I look at the screen and then so I do that. And I tend to use an earpiece and walk.
Wait,
along.
What were you saying, Bruce? No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
I resemble that remark, Denise. So on my desk is a magazine that's open. I stack everything up so I don't look at things. I do it on purpose. But there's this magazine that's open to an ad for a photographer. And while you were saying that, I glanced over and it says, it's all pictures of buildings, architectural photography, right? And it says, mm-hmm. I'm into buildings. So you would say, great. So this guy, we understand what he does. If I need an architectural photographer, I should call this guy because he's into buildings. And look at all these beautiful pictures of buildings. And then underneath his name, it says architecture, interiors. Okay, that fits buildings. Lifestyle, fine art, mm-hmm. fashion. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he's telling me he's into buildings, and oh, by the way, but I also do these other things. The only thing he left out was weddings and bar mitzvahs, you know? so I think you're right. It goes back to the discipline idea, because he did this ad, and he said, I'm going to get this high-quality, high-end architectural photography assignments because that's what I do. And then someone said to him, but wait a second. You know, how about when someone wants to do a lifestyle show? Oh, I could do that. Well, wait a second. What if there's models and you want to do fashion, plus you could meet the girls? Oh, I could do that. And so I think you said it right. I think it's you need to establish something. You need to have some degree of flexibility. But I even now have more respect for the word you used, discipline. You need discipline. And
right.
I need discipline to close the magazine so I don't start looking at other
supposed
to be paying attention.
Well,
I did it.
Well, thank you. Bruce, you know, I feel like we could talk forever, but I want to make sure that we wrap it up and give my listeners information about how they can learn more about you and what you do. So where should people go to connect with you and learn more?
The easiest way is just to go to my website, which is just my name, Bruce Turkel, one L, by the way, BRUCETURKEL.com. Across the top, it says Turkel Talks or blog. Click there. I write a blog on branding and brand ideas every single week. You can sign up for it. I'll send it to you if you want. I don't sell anything. I'm not trying. There's no spamming. There's nothing else. I don't sell my lists. But I do write on what I see going on every week, and I try to make it both entertaining and practical. So it's a quick read. You can enjoy it, but hopefully there's some takeaway that you can find out about. Then you can go on there and you can see all my videos and all the me on the news and all that other stuff. But just go to my name, BruceTurkell.com. That's the easiest way.
And I would agree and say that I love, now that I've met you, I've started reading your blog, and I love it because I think it is so like practical, to your point about just like you take an idea and you just make it so clear and so accessible, and I really appreciate that about the way that you write. Plus, we get to know you a little bit. You recently wrote a whole thing about what you pack when you travel, and I feel like I got a little bit of a window into your personal world. So I really appreciate that you can.
Compulsive. yeah, there's a couple, you know, we all have a couple pet peeves, and every so often I just have to write about them.
Yeah. Well, okay, so my listeners, go to BruceTurkell.com. And Bruce, thank you so much for this great conversation. I look forward to sharing more with you in the future.
Thank you, Denise. It was a real treat. I'm glad we're getting to know each other.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes or through my website, DeniseLeeYon.com. And check out my new best-selling book, What Great Brands Do, The 7 Brand Building Principles That Separate the Best from the Rest. Go to whatgreatbrandsdo.com. And remember, good is the enemy of great. Greatness is a choice. Choose to be great.